Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. How to overcome weariness. That's our subject today. We've talked about how to overcome worry. Weariness is certainly another problem, isn't it? Like everybody has experienced it. And in fact, there are certain consequences when you are too tired, and a lot of bad things can happen. And so we need to figure out how it even affects our animals, for goodness sakes. They get worn out too. Oh my. And so you never know when it's going to hit you, but it seems to happen to most of us frequently, and sometimes all too often. And sometimes for too long a period of time, and we just are in this absolute shutdown, unable to function condition, and we don't know what to do next. It even affects our vocations and our ability to perform and to stay functional. And so that's why our subject today is how to overcome weariness. So let's start with a definition. And so here we go. Weary means, and this comes from the Oxford English Dictionary, having the feeling of loss of strength, languor, or need for rest. That's a good one, a need for rest. I'm pretty good at sleeping, so I'm so good I can do it with my eyes shut, as somebody said. And a need for rest produced by continued exertion, whether that exertion be physical or mental. And then sometimes it's weariness because of enduring severe pain or just too many hours awake. Tired, fatigued, intensely tired, worn out. And so the story goes on of what weariness is really like. So how are we going to deal with weariness? So I want to give you a few tips from the Bible. And remember with me that the best stuff you can learn in this life comes from that one book. It saves studying a whole lot of other stuff. So how do we overcome weariness? The first thing that happens is we must become aware of the dangers of weariness. In fact, Will Rogers, one of my favorite quotations, this is what he said. And everybody else is quoting it without telling it it came from him, but this is what he said. I want to die peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, not screaming and yelling like the passengers in his car. And we have laughed at the memes, haven't we? But the truth of the matter is, it's really dangerous to be driving when you're weary. In fact, look at the scripture. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak. And I will make him afraid. And that's what the enemy always does. He's after us at our weakest points. It doesn't bother us as much as when we're strong, but when we're weak, that's when he attacks. And here's something we really need to learn. Weariness is the enemy of alertness. Because when we're weary, we are hardly aware of what's going on. And alertness is a very key quality that is necessary for survival. What is alertness? It's the awareness of what is taking place around me in order to have a right response. Weariness is the enemy of alertness. Let's take another look at this scripture. Then J.L. Heber's wife took a nail of the tent. Now watch this. Because there's this guy who was fast asleep and he's weary. And so this wife of the enemy, look at what she does. She took a nail, you know, a tent peg, right? And she took a hammer in her hand and she went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples, right here. And fastened it to the ground. I shouldn't be chuckling, but this guy really got nailed. And what's the problem? Is he was so weary, he didn't even know what's going on. There's all kinds of dangers that happen when we're weary. And so the first step to overcome weariness is to realize that there's some really negative consequences that can happen to a person when they're weary. So the second thing we should learn is that we should become aware of various causes of weariness. Beware of the causes. There's all kinds of them. I'm going to point out some of them, and I'm going to limit myself to the ones that I found in Scripture. So here's the first one. This is a tragic one. And Rebekah said to Isaac, look at this. I am weary of my life. I've just had enough. I am fed up. Sad. In fact, Job had the same feeling. And this is what he said. My soul, that's my mind and my emotion, is weary of my life. What? And it's possible and tragically true way too often that people just get worn out. They get so weary, they want to quit. Again, what are the people do when that happens? Well, they usually tried some kind of chemical solution, but it doesn't work because there's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. When will we learn that, huh? And of course, the tragically self-destructive behavior set in. Why? Because they're just fed up with life, unfulfillment in life. And oh, how our hearts should go out to those in this condition. My. We need to reach out and touch them. We'll talk about some of the solutions in a moment. So let's go to another cause. And this is probably not very well known, but the iniquity of other people can wear you out. Iniquity is narcissism. And so look at this. I am weary with my groaning all the night. It's like my bed is to swim, my couch. I water my couch with my tears. I weep so much, my eye is consumed because of grief. It waxes old because of all mine enemies. Now watch this. Depart from me, all ye workers of, look at this, workers of iniquity. That's the problem. When everybody else's selfishness, narcissism, iniquity gets so much into us that we get worn out. Everybody trying to conquer us. Everybody trying to do one-upmanship. Everybody trying to be the top honcho and put us down and lift themselves up. Iniquity, that's what that is, narcissism. Can cause tremendous weariness. And now number two, just carrying on long-term conflicts with other people. Yeah, I mean, it really gets old. No resolution, no solution. So here's the speaker again, David. Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I mean, like a flood, like I... In my soul, in my mind, in my emotions, in my feelings, in my social relationship. I sink in deep mire. It's like I'm stuck in the mud where there's no standing. I can't even stand up straight. I'm come into deep waters. The floods are overflowing me. I mean, and what is it? I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail. Well, oh, I wait for my God to help me. God, do something. Help me get out of this. What is it he's trying to get out of? Because they that hate me without cause, and they are more than the hairs of mine head, they would destroy me. Mine enemies wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Watch this now. Because long-term conflicts with any other people, I think it's especially true in marriage. You get worn out. We need to have a solution for that. Children can wear us out. And so what do we do with this weariness? Yeah. So that's another cause of weariness. Let's go to some more. And this is kind of a legitimate one. So this is a weariness that comes from always being corrected. Look at this. My son, Despise not the chastening of the Lord, and don't be weary about his correction. I suppose this happens mostly when we're young. And we need to be corrected. I mean, why would a person not want to be corrected? If you're off track, don't you want to get back on track? If you're headed for destruction, don't you want resolution, a solution, a positive answer to the issue that you're facing? But watch this now, because the scripture is interesting here. And it says, don't despise it, and don't be weary of God's correction. He loves us too much to let us fail, falter, and get damaged. So he corrects us. Why does he do that? And this scripture tells us the answer. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. But another cause of weariness is corrected, being corrected, corrected, corrected. Well, if you respond the right way to correction, eventually you don't have to be corrected so much anymore. That's the best way out of it. And then another thing that causes weariness is when we don't get our own way. Get tired of trying to get our own way. So in this text, take heed every one of his neighbor. Don't trust any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one of his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and watch this, and they weary themselves to commit their narcissism. Just wears them out. Now, the danger is this is not about somebody else. This text is about somebody else. But the danger is that it would be us that would get tired of committing narcissism. We don't get our own way. We keep trying. And we try some more. And it gets old real fast. When you don't get your own way, it can cause weariness. And then here's an interesting one. This scripture talks about being unable to fulfill something you know you should and want to do. So you're forced to be contained and not free to act. And this is what was true of the prophet Jeremiah. Look what he says about himself. His word, that is God's word, was in my heart. It was like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary. Look at that. I was weary with forbearing. I don't know. I did not know what to do because I need to preach. I need to tell the message. I need to get it out. But he, for some reason, wasn't unable to do that. And it's really wearying. You know, it's kind of interesting because in the Old Testament, the priest prepared the sacrifice on Friday and burnt the sacrifices on Saturday, on the Sabbath, right? And preachers have to, today we get ready Saturday for Sunday usually. The danger is you should be getting everything so prepared, and the danger is that the fire gets on the sacrifice before it should happen. And so when you study, man, you get on fire, and then the next day, the fire's all burned out. I hope every preacher that listens to me is not like that, because that's a really tough thing. Well, there's another cause, and that is the vanity. The people shall weary themselves for vanity. Vanity. Well, what is it? It is the quality of being personally vain, to have a high opinion of oneself, self-conceit, and the desire for admiration. And if we don't get it, we get tired of trying to get accepted by everybody. We're trying to fulfill our high opinion of ourselves, our conceit. And in fact, one translation puts it this way, and the people weary themselves. Because what they're after is really empty. It's a falsity and it's a futility. It just doesn't work. So another one of the causes of weariness is vanity. Now here's one. In fact, it's referred to, I'm going to refer to it as being overly friendly with people. Okay, watch here now. So here's the scripture. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house. Look at this. Lest he be weary of thee and come to hate you. I had enough of you. Get out of my house. You know, the scriptures actually warn us about being in each other's houses too much, because it's their own domain. It's their escape from the whole world. And if we're invited, that's fine. But spending too much time there, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he weary of thee and hate thee. Another warning of scripture is don't talk loud in the mornings. Anyhow, let's go back and see the scripture one more time. So here it is. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he weary. Don't wear other people out, and don't let them wear you out, because they're just in the house too much, and they become unwelcome. And withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he weary of thee. And then here's one we probably all have had to face, being overly academic. Now watch the scripture. By these, my son, be admonished. Okay, now watch this. Of the making of books, many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Of the books, there's just no end. They go on, thousands, millions of books. And look at this. And it's a weariness, studying over studying. It's a weariness of the flesh. And so with all these books and with all the studying to do, and by the way, one should do study, and one should apply themselves diligently. Books are kind of handed on information from somebody else, and sometimes it can save you a lot of trouble. And especially one book. And you know the one I'm talking about. It's the Bible. You can't overstudy the Bible, one end to the other. 66 books all jammed, crammed into one big book. Each part of it has a different application. So exciting to spend your life in that book. But a book, there's no end, and be careful that you don't get weary from overstudy. And then, this is an interesting one, because you can become weary from just doing good all the time. So comes the scriptures and says, "Ye brothers, may ye not be weary doing well." Don't do so much. Well, we're going to come back to this scripture. He's not saying don't do the good. He's going to tell us in a few moments how to get over and how to conquer the weariness that comes from doing good. We'll see that in a few moments. So we're going to talk about solutions now. And the first one we want to talk about is solutions to being too busy. And what is the solution to being over busy? The answer is to limit your time that you spend making yourself over busy. So the scripture says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all the work. Got to get it all in 6 days, because in one day we do zero, nothing. Now watch this. It doesn't say 6 days and nights. 6 days shalt thou labor, do all thy work. And so it's important to limit the amount of work we do. And some people, and I was guilty of this when I was younger, and I remember one time I worked 3.5 days, never saw my bed. Got deadlines, and crazy, Crazy. So, got to limit our work so it doesn't make us weary. Work should be a joy. It should be part of your embedded natural ability, just lots of energy but don't overdo it. A second solution to being overbusy is to make sure that you stick to your own business. Because if you're doing everybody else's business, you're going to be overworked and underpaid. Now we hear that some which walk among you are disorderly. In fact, they're not even doing their work, but instead they're busybodies. They're busybodies. What is that? A busybody is an officious, interfering, meddling, or prying person. Got it? An officious, interfering, meddling, or prying person. Watch this now. One that involves him or herself in other people's affairs. Watch it now. Without invitation. Ugh. Always overreaching. Always getting your nose in somebody else's stuff. Not even invited. And these people are aggravating. Officious. They think they're doing you a favor. They're meddling. They're prying. And they're involved in everybody's business but their own. And they do it without being invited. So remember, you want to help somebody, make sure you got an invitation. Do say, is it okay if I help you with that? So be careful now. Let's look at a couple more scriptures about this. Check this. Lord, my heart is not haughty. Now watch this, because haughtiness is what makes us get involved in everybody else's stuff. Think that we can conquer for them. That they're not as bright. Ah. My heart is not haughty. And my eyes are not lofty. Now watch this. And neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Don't miss this. I don't work in matters that are beyond me. They're outside my jurisdiction. They're outside my scope of accomplishment. Now watch what David says here. Because if we can stop this pride, narcissism, haughtiness, loftiness that we think we are, and stick to things that are within our own jurisdiction, look at what David says. I will have behaved myself. And not only that, but I will have quieted myself. No weariness now, because I don't do stuff bigger than I should be handling. Stick to one's own business. Now, I can't just walk away from the subject, because I want us to catch a truth that's, I think, vital. So look what the scripture says. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, there's a proper place for helping other people. Should be invited, right? Shouldn't be bursting in on their life, taking over like you're the boss, you're the savior. But there's a proper place. Bear one another's burdens. Now watch this, because this is an interesting phrase. And so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? And that is love. You do. Love compels us to help other people properly, right? Okay, now watch it. Now, I'm going to skip a verse, but I'll come back to it. So bear one another's burdens, but I want you to see just three verses later. Every man shall bear his own burden. Oh my goodness. Why is this important? Why does the scriptures say, let's help him? And then say, but he has to help himself. And the answer to that is not complicated. It's because if we take over the personal responsibility of someone else, they will not become responsible, and they need to. They need to develop responsibility. They need to do their duty. And if they don't, because we have taken over from them, then what indeed has happened is we have become not servants, but enablers. Now watch. A lot of damage takes place when we help, when we overhelp people. Remember, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. A lot. We help people who can't help themselves. That's, by the way, that's the difference between helping the poor and helping the slothful. Should we help the poor? Absolutely. We're under commandment to, and he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and he shall repay him. I mean, yes. But that's not like helping the slothful. Those refuse to work, for the scriptures explain, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But if he can't work, if he's poor because of some incapacity, then we help him. So we bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I want you to see embedded between these two verses that I've just shown you the reason for it. Here it is. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And that's the reason why we always button into somebody else's business, because we think we know better. And there's a deceit that's going on. Instead, let every man prove his own work, the helper and the one being helped, a mutual helper. We're going to help him, but not enable him. Because look at the results of this. Like if every man proves his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another person. For every man shall bear his own burden. And this is so delightful, because if we don't overhelp people, just help them, and then they take on the responsibility and bear their own burdens themselves, they get to rejoice in themselves alone. Like, I did this. I'm doing something. And their self-fulfillment is so delightful. Let's look at a translation. Let every man learn to assess properly the value of his own work. And he can then be glad when he has done something worth doing without dependence on the approval of others. And so, one of the solutions to being over busy is to stick to one's own business. Now, here's one I think you'll like. If you become weary, you need to take a break. Now, you have no better teacher than Jesus himself and the disciples. And listen to what he says now. Come yourselves apart to a desert place. Basically, he's saying, come apart to a desert place, or else you'll just plain come apart. Come to a desert place. And what should you do in the desert place? And rest a while. Whoa. Now watch here, because here's the context. For there were many coming and going, and Jesus and the disciples had no leisure. They didn't even get their meals on time. They had no leisure so much as to even eat. So what did Jesus say, and what did he do? He said, hey, let's get out of here, and let's go out to the wilderness. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Oh, watch it now. Take private. Don't take a bunch of people with you, or it won't be private and it won't be leisurely. You can have a few trusted comrades, I suppose, because that's what these were. And so a solution to being over busy is to take a break. Just go someplace, calm down, relax. A beach is a good place. Or you can sit down by a waterfall or a slow-moving creek or river. Take a walk. And in the wilderness, get outside of town, go somewhere. Because out there, there is rest for the weary. So I want you to see this again. This is not my idea. This is Jesus' idea. Jesus basically says, make sure that you come apart to a desert place, a quiet place, a lonely place. And when you're there, rest. Because they were coming and going, and they didn't have time to eat. Oh, I can't tell you how sorry I am that I didn't learn this till late in life. And sometimes I wonder, and my wife probably wonders too, if I've really learned it yet. Then I've had to make sure that vacations aren't just another place of being busy on a new location. That's not going to stop the weariness. Got to calm. Got to be quiet. Got to rest. Got to take it easy. And like Jesus did, they departed privately. How to overcome weariness? Take a break. Take regular breaks. Now, the next one is that you can give and receive encouraging words from others. When you're weary, it's nice when somebody comes along and lifts you up. And you do the same for them. In fact, look at the scripture. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. I'm smarter now because I know what and how to say. Watch it now. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Watch it now. I'm learning how to speak a word in season. You just can't do it any time. Got to seek the right moment. And it's to those that are weary. I mean, in fact, Mark Twain put it this way. To get the full value of joy, you must have someone to divide it with. Let's check this out. Socrates, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. One more. Kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see, Mark Twain. What's important is we learn how to speak at the right time encouraging words to those that are weary and receive that from somebody else as well. All right, number five, here we go. Now, this one's a biggie because this is one of the, we're coming now to the climactic keys that have to do with overcoming wilderness. Here it is. Learn to exert continual control of your thinking. You all know this verse, right? And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I just want you to catch this phrase. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing is an active tense verb. Exert continual control of your thinking. Continual control of your thinking. Mike, this is so important. So let's look at this. Who can do this? Who can control their thinking? So here comes the scriptures and says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Who's capable of learning? Whom shall he make to understand principle and doctrine? And look at this, them that are weaned from the milk. In fact, right after the babyhood, they can start learning. Isn't that great? But the way to learn is precept upon precept. precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Now watch this, because here's how you learn. Here a little, and there a little. And you just put all the pieces together, right? Watch it now. For with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to his people? Even if it's kind of fuzzy. Watch this now. And this is what he said. Now watch it. This, learning the precept upon precept, the line upon line, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And look at this. This is the refreshing. Oh my goodness. This is the rest. Let's take a look at it again. This is the rest. We must control our thinking and have it under the control of what we have learned, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. I'll tell you, this is so vital and important. I put in another quote. No enemy is worse than bad advice. Exert continual control of your thinking. No enemy is worse than bad advice, data coming in. So here's what I want you to grasp. Make sure that you are beware of idea viruses. Ah, we all know about viruses, but there are idea viruses, my goodness, designed to get in your mind, to change your thinking, to manipulate your thought. And so if there are, and there are, idea viruses, there needs to be a guardian system to prevent them from entering our minds and taking over our thinking. And right now we're faced with major, major propaganda machineries designed to warp and twist and... wicked eyes would be a good word. So there needs to be a way of handling idea viruses which are coming at us in mass. In fact, in this illustration, I show three shields. And I wish I were the artist because I would have had eight shields. Because God has designed an full system to prevent idea viruses from entering into our mind. So let's take a look at them. I don't want you to get lost in the scripture. I'm going to break it down in a moment. But finally, my brethren, and I want you to get that. Finally, my brethren. Now watch this, because this is how you control your thinking. You're about to see the biblical agenda as to whether to receive a thought and how to vet it, to reject it, to disannul it, to avoid it, what are you going to do with a thought? Because one idea virus can damage. So here it is. I want you to see this. Think on these things. Are you ready? Here is the guardian so that no virus idea can take over your mind. Number one, it has to be true. It has to be true. In other words, if it's unvetted, you don't know it to be true, you don't receive it, not at all. Whatsoever things are true. Number two, is it honest? Does this idea come from a person who's honest? Is it an honest concept? Is it just? Does it qualify as injustice? Is it pure? Unmixed. That's what pure means. When you have pure gold, nothing else mixed in with it. It's pure gold. There's a lot of mixtures today, so truth can have mixtures put in and becomes untruth. Whatsoever things are lovely. Now, can you imagine your mind, if all your thoughts were lovely? That's precisely what God's telling us to do right now. And set up this guard. If it's not lovely, don't let it in. Whatsoever things are of good report, is it have a good prop, is it benefit? Is there a virtue in it? The absence of evil, that's what virtue is. Is it praiseworthy? And if it is, then think on these things. Beware of idea viruses. I want to give you one more tip about this. Because not only do we have these eight things here, but God has given to us what he calls in the scriptures as the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we get to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's how we defeat all of the wrong thoughts and we keep our minds the way they should. Okay, number six. You need to enter into the promises of provision that God has made for you. In fact, look at this. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of, now watch it, the promise that enables us to enter into his rest. This fear, lest any of us should come short of it. Enter into the promise left to us that leads to rest. So we need to do that. So here we go. One more. Be refreshed by the realization of coming rewards. Now, I told you earlier when we quoted this scripture in part. Look at this now. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, why? Here's how you overcome weariness and well-doing. Realizing that in due season, you're going to reap the benefits if we faint not. And that's what gives us the energy to overcome weariness, because there's going to be a reward for all the good that we do. So as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so we learn that some weariness that comes from being good is conquered by realizing the advantage that will come later. Getting close now to the real stuff. Stay intimately close to Jesus. You couldn't have a better friend in the world. The enemy, lots of them, comes just to steal, to kill, destroy. But Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He wants you to have abundant life. Here it is. Here's the invitation. And if you have never responded to this invitation, this would be a good time for you. It will end your weariness. Because he said, I want you to have abundant life, and I'm saying, come to me. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And look at what I'll do. I will give you rest. If you will take my yoke upon you, and if you'll learn of me, because I'm meek and lowly, I'm not a show-off. But you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Check this verse. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That freedom covers, oh, so many areas of life, and includes free from weariness. So make sure you come to Jesus and spend maximum personal time with him, with the Lord and his Father. So look at this almost closing scripture now. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, watch this now, he faints not, neither is he's never weary, and there's no searching of his understanding. Look at this. Don't miss this. God faints not. He's never weary. And there's no limit to his understanding. And here's what he does. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, because weariness took it away, he increases strength. Even the young people shall faint and they will be weary. We saw pictures I've showed you, young people in weariness. And young men shall utterly fall. But watch this now. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The answer to weariness, spending maximum time with God. Wait upon him. Relax. Be quiet. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now watch this. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's a long way from weariness. They shall run and not be weary. And this is talking about you. They shall walk and not faint. Oh my goodness. This comes from spending time, personal time, alone time, quiet time with God. Something about this vertical contact with God, he kind of like enters into us in a fresh, revitalizing way. No more weariness. And now what's interesting is that you will in turn become the stable refresher to other people. Because of this time you spent with God, look at the scripture now. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. We know who that is. Now watch this. And a man who comes to this king of righteousness, right, shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That's you. Because you become so conquering of weariness, you become the stabilizer to others as well. Like a rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, the knowledge of the stammer shall be ready to speak plainly. Why? Because you overcame weariness. So this is what God does in your life. For thou, Lord, will light my candle. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. This is about you. Look at this now. And for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. I tell you, my friends, that's why the scripture says that in this life, he wants you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Not under, but over. Not below, but above. Not behind, but before. not down, but up. Not weary, but running with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This are the steps from the Bible. These are the steps from the Bible on how to overcome weariness. Of all the steps, I think the most important one is that you come to Jesus. That's my hope. That's my prayer for you. Because when you receive Him, greater is He that's within us than everything that's around us. You'll run and not be weary.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.